You can take your seats.
Thanks. Good morning. Oh, what an amazing joy and privilege it is to be in this room with you incredible women. For those of you I don't know, I'm Jo, mum of four incredible daughters, Ellie, Lydia, Anwen, Millie, 7 to 1. They're great. It's funny, you don't stop being a mum even when you've got to speak, and I was up like 3 times in the night with them, and that was apart from just like the kind of excitement and nerves and just, oh, God, what are you going to do today? It's so exciting. You might have seen from the blurb that I have a ruddy, handsome husband. You might guess that Matt wrote those words, but it is also true. He's brilliant. Things that I think are important to know before I start is I'm a bit of a crazy runner. I ran a marathon 2-ish years ago and just loved it, which is kind of a crazy thing, isn't it, to run 2.6 miles and love it. But I did pretty much love every 26.2. What did I say? Less. Did I just rob myself of miles? Man, they were the hardest ones as well. And so I think just where I've got to today started, or kind of carried on, because God starts in us right at the beginning of when we get saved, doesn't he? But kind of God did something in my marathon training in terms of building something resilient in me and understanding of who I am in God and kind of going after the stuff of him. And so I am going to refer quite a lot to running and stuff just because that's kind of how God spoke to me. And just a quick story on that, and it'll kind of become clear why I'm saying that in terms of relationship with God. But I was running, and the nature of marathon training is that a lot of it for me was done in the dark and in the winter, so it was cold and it was often wet. And I was out for a run, and basically a big lorry came past, and you can imagine the rest. I literally got pelted with very, very cold, wet water. And rainwater, dirty rainwater. And I kind of was like, oh, that was really cold. And I had a choice to make, to keep running or feel sorry for myself. I could be like, I'm cold and I'm wet and I just want to go home. Or God was like, or you could press in. And I feel like for me, marathon training was my pressing in, but also my pressing in God. So my prayer for us this morning as we look at affinity with him is that we would just go knowing that he desires more than anything to be so close to us, and for a fresh desire for us to be really close to him and have fresh kind of relationship. And so I want to invite you to join me on my journey. I've by no means cracked this. I'm not pretending that I pray for hours and hours on end all the time, but God is teaching me stuff that I feel like he would want me to impart to you this morning. I know that we've just prayed, but I just want to invite you to stand, and I'm going to pray again, mainly because I just need it. God, we thank you so much that you're here already, and just want to ask that you'd help us just to step in to what you've got for us this morning. Give us ears to hear you and eyes to see you and just soft hearts just to receive from you this morning. I thank you that you want to do us good in this place, and so we just say we're yours, we're here for you, for nothing else other than just to come and be yours and enjoy being known to you. Please help me as I communicate what you've put in my heart. Please help me just to say what you want to say this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's open a Bible. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43. It's kind of slap bang in the middle, like that. It's pretty much halfway. And I'm just going to read the first 4 verses. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honoured, and I love you. What incredible truth that we just get to come and kind of suck up this morning. And you might kind of think, okay, the book of Isaiah, what's that got to do with me and now and where I'm at? So just a bit of a backstory, I think. Isaiah is a prophet in the Old Testament. He's writing to the Israelites, who are God's chosen people. It has always been God's intention that he will have a people for himself, a people that might display his glory, a people that might be those he can show how much he loves to the rest of the world. He can show just who he is through them. And if you kind of look back through the history of the Israelites, it's kind of a history of them completely stuffing up and God coming and rescuing them, and then them being like, oh, God didn't really rescue us, it was a gold cow or something else, just putting their kind of trust in something other than God. And these verses kind of start with "but now," and if you read the chapter before this one, it is basically God being like, do you know what, I've held my peace with you for long enough, and now I'm really angry with you, and you are going to see what that looks like. And then almost God just being like, but actually I'm going to remind you who you are and what I've called you and what I am like, and how I will relent even when you're kind of like, oh, look, I don't know if you know the story. So Exodus, Moses leads the people through the Red Sea, and they kind of come out the other side, and God then obliterates another, the Egyptian army. And it's like, God's like, look what I'm going to do. And they're like, oh, yes, but we'll still worship these other things as well. So, right, let's get back to my notes. So I'm just going to draw out three assurances of what it means to be his this morning. And the first of those assurances is that we are redeemed. So we know for the story of the Israelites that they are God's people, but they have been enslaved in Egypt, and God sends Moses to rescue them. And basically just God's incredible rescue of buying them back, of rescuing them out of slavery, bringing them into his family, into his purposes. And these verses say that that God says, I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. So like I said, they pass through the Red Sea safely onto dry land, and then God comes and obliterates an entire army. God was going to go to incredible lengths to rescue his people, to have his people for himself, to protect them, to display his glory in them. And that's an assurance for them. They're redeemed, they're bought back by passing through the Red Sea, being rescued out of slavery. But it's a pointer to us this morning that we have been redeemed, that we have been bought back, that the extraordinary lengths that God was willing to go to for the people of Israel in altering nations, in saying, I give you Egypt, I give you Cush and Seba in exchange for you, is just a foretaste of what God was willing to pay for you and me. And so our first assurance is that we're redeemed, that God was willing to pay for you and me with Jesus, that it wasn't just that we get to pass through the Red Sea unharmed, but he's brought us back with Jesus. And how incredible. It says in Ephesians 2, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. That was where we were. We weren't doing anything to earn God's salvation. We weren't hungrily searching for him, but God in his mercy reached out and grabbed us and has rescued us and has brought us near, has brought us into his family. And we just get to enjoy that this morning. We get to enjoy knowing that God has redeemed us by Jesus, and that was the biggest price that he could pay for us. There's not a greater price that has been paid for anyone. There never will be. Jesus is the biggest price that has been paid. And so for us, our first assurances this morning that we belong to him is that we have been redeemed. The second one from that passage, if we go back, it says, for I've redeemed you, I've called you by name. And this morning, God just wants to know that he's called you by name. It's a name imparts meaning and value and significance. We read the Faraway Tree series with one of our daughters, and there's a character in it called What's His Name, and he's called What's His Name because nobody knows his name. And I just as I was kind of thinking about him, he's one of the main characters. He goes on adventures with the children in the Faraway Tree and up the tree and da da da, but nobody knows his name, and kind of part of his is like, I really would like to know my name. And I felt like, just as I was preparing, that God would say, do you know what? I know your name. For everyone in this room, I know your name. And for us, names are quite important. Like I said, we've got four daughters. Lydia, we so named just because we felt like God started speaking to us. I was probably at an event not dissimilar to this one, and was pregnant, didn't know I was having a girl, and just felt someone got up and started speaking about Lydia and being a seller of purple cloth and being someone who practiced hospitality. And just God was like, do you know what? That's what I want your family to look like. And in so naming Lydia, we were kind of putting a stamp down of saying, this is what we want our family to look like. This is what we want to be like. And so names are important. They're important to me, but more importantly, they're important to God. And just want to ask, do you know that God has named you this morning? He has given you a name, and not just like a physical name, but like this morning, your daughters of the King. Do you know that is your name this morning? For those of us who are in Christ, we are daughters of the King. And just as I was preparing, I just felt like God speak to me about a couple of names and just another situation. And I am going to get people to be really brave if they feel like it. But the first one is, and I kind of know that there are because I've seen one or two, but there might be others that I don't know. But is there anyone called Louise here? And would you be brave so I can stand up and I can prophesy over you? Any Lou's? No Louise's? It's my Lou Brown. Hi. Lou, just as I was preparing, I looked up your name, and you probably already know what it means, but it means famous warrior. And I just feel like you're to be such a famous warrior, a warrior in prayer, a warrior in just how you are, in being a wife, in being a leader, just in how you pioneer, and just that God would just want to speak encouragement to you today, and just to keep armoring up for battle. I'm making a funny noise, but just to keep armoring. I'll stop punching my hand. Just to keep armoring up in battle, just to be someone who knows the word well, so that when battle comes, that you're good at wielding the sword, that you're good at kind of just speaking truth into situations. And just, yeah, God would just want to speak courage to you today. Thanks, friend. Okay, and then the second was Helen. Have we got any Helens? Oh, yes. We've got lots of Helens. Yes, come on. Helens, your name means ray of light. Helens, you are called to be light. You are called to be light in your situations. You're called to be light in your workplaces, in your homes, in just the context that you operate in, at the school gate, in your friendships, just to express just the lightness of God. Just feel like God would just keep putting kind of light that just radiates out of you. It's not even that you're like, oh, I've got to try, go home and try and be light now. It's just who you are. Just light pours out of you because you're with God and you know him and he sees you. And just, there was also, just as I was kind of rehearsing this in the weird way that you do, just kind of God was just like, and I've called you to be light in terms of lightness in your spirit as well. I just feel like God would just want to bring such a lightness to you, just to be you, just to kind of, not float because that's weird, but like just to kind of just be light in spirit, that just God hasn't called you to have stuff kind of cling and hold you down, but just called to have a real lightness in spirit. Bless you. Helens, wonderful Helens, thank you. Please sit down. And then finally, I'm not going to ask you to stand because this is a bit more of a tricky one and I haven't got a name for this one. But I just felt like God wanted to speak to those whose name hasn't been used in an affectionate way. Oh, God. Because you know what? Your dad in heaven loves you. And when he says your name, he says it with such affection. And I feel like there's women in this room whose name has only ever been said in a kind of harsh, telling off kind of way. And like, when I've been naughty, when I was younger, I'd kind of get the whole full name thing. I'd be like, Joanna Lindsay Cole. But like, that wasn't all the time. It was just, you know, when I was really naughty. And I just feel like there's been people whose name has never been said with just real affection. And I just feel like your dad in heaven today would just want to come and whisper your name to you and just say that you're beautiful and that you're loved and that you're daughter and that you're accepted and that you're forgiven and that you're delighted in. And I just want to encourage you. We're going to have time later to respond. We're going to have time to have ministry. So if you feel like, oh yeah, that hits something, then please let me encourage you to respond. And then finally, just on this naming thing, just feel like there's people who are living under names that aren't their own, just kind of rejected, unacceptable, stupid, failure, those kind of things. And just feel like God would want to lift those off you today. And again, just want to encourage you to grab someone at the end to pray with you. Because do you know what? God's given you a name. He says that you are precious. He says that you are daughter. He says that you are delighted in. Okay. And do you know what? We're significant today. We're significant because of Jesus. We're significant because of the work of the cross. Not because I've got up and done anything incredible today. Not because you've got up and done anything incredible today. But because he got up and did something incredible. Okay, so we're redeemed. We're named. And we belong. It says in those verses, I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. And you are mine. How amazing is it this morning that we belong to the living God? We're his. He says that you are mine. And that speaks of something, just incredible closeness, incredible intimacy. Just God would say that, I just want to be close to you. I just want you to know that I know you by name. You belong to me. And Joel recently spoke from Ephesians 1 about adoption. And when Paul was writing about being adopted, adoption gave you just kind of even greater value than just a natural heir. You could never be disinherited. You could never be unacceptable anymore. You could never be rejected again. And do you know what? When we're called by name, when we're brought into God's family and belonging to him, that we can never be rejected again. We can never be disinherited. Inherited, it's one, once and for all, job done, done deal. And so this morning, our third assurance is that we belong. It says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And so as people of God, we get to enjoy mercy. We get to enjoy being God's people, but we get to enjoy being part of this family as well, being part of this sisterhood. And I just want to encourage us this morning that actually we're not just kind of ones on our own, just trying to scrape through, just trying to get through the day, but we're a family, we're sisters. We get to stand side by side together, which I'll talk a bit more about, but we're here for God. We're here for his purposes. We're here for Church of Christ the King. We're here for the city of Brighton and the surrounding area. We're here for the nation and we're here for the nations. And so it's not like, oh, I'll just muddle through. I'll just do well when I'm doing well. But it's like God's called you for purpose. Being his is means that you've got purpose in him now. So whether you're having a great day or not, you're redeemed and you're named and you belong. Okay. So this is the fun bit. Bit more fun. We're going to just talk about things that block us from being his, things that stop us remembering who we are. I'm just going to read from Ephesians 2. It says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places. And it goes on to say, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We're now alive. Alive in Christ, but that isn't always the way we live. And just we're going to go back to those verses. It says, when you pass through waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. And I just want to look at three things this morning that kind of block us or block our perception of belonging, of knowing that we are God's. The first one is sin, the second one is circumstances, and the third one is emotions. And I know for me, sin makes me forget very, very quickly who I am and who I belong to. And I'm just going to ask the guys at the back if they will pause the recording and then give me a thumbs up when you're done. Okay. But do you know what? Even in our sin, he loves us. And I was so ashamed. I felt so rubbish. I was just like, oh God, I really want to come to you, but I'll do it when I've sorted myself out. I'll do it when I'm feeling a bit better about myself. And I've seen them, just reminded of the verses in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3. And it talks about Adam and Eve, and they've just blown it. They've just sinned. They've just eaten from the tree, and they're being kicked out of the garden. They can't have anything to do with God anymore. And do you know what it says? It said that God clothes them. And they just get clothed in animal hide. But do you know what? This morning we get clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. That actually when Jesus looks at me, he doesn't see my shame. He doesn't see my stuffing up. He doesn't see my sin. When he looks at you, he doesn't see any of the stuff that you're too shameful to mention. He sees the finished work of Jesus. You get clothed in the righteousness of Christ this morning. How ridiculously amazing is that? How just amazing is that? Jesus is so, so good to us. And so I just want to encourage you this morning, don't let kind of stuff get in the way of you coming to God. Don't let your sin, because do you know what? He accepts you all the time. He loves you all the time. And don't hear me wrong, he hates our sin. he hates it. It meant that Jesus had to die on a cross, but he loves us, always, always loves us. Okay, need a drink. Second thing, our circumstances can get in the way of us just knowing that we belong to him, that we're his. And I don't know about you, but kind of when stuff's going really, really well, like you're getting that promotion that you went for, like stuff with the husband is good, stuff at work is good, that relationship went well, money is good, you've got enough money to pay the bills, those kind of things, all those things are working out well for you. And you can kind of think, oh, God really loves me at the moment. I must be doing really, really well. And then you've got the flip side when things are not going so well and that you're dealing with disappointment and you don't have money to pay the bills and you're struggling and your kids aren't behaving really well and work is tough and you thought you were going to get that promotion and it didn't come through, or you thought that this relationship that you kind of put all your hope in was going to kind of be the one and that all kind of didn't go so well, and you can almost slip into that, oh, I must have done something to really upset God. He might not be so pleased with me at the moment. Oh, I wonder what I've done. I wonder where he is in this. And it's just knowing, isn't it? Knowing that God is with us, whatever is going on, whether we're doing brilliant, whether we're doing a bit pants, whether we're doing really pants, that even in our circumstances, God knows us. And we've got incredible songwriters here at this church, and there's a song that I sing to myself quite a lot, and it says, "Shall we see you in the blessing, yet forget you in the trial? Knowing all of these things you are working, so I'll stand and trust you now." And it's like knowing that God is with us, even in the tough stuff, knowing that God is with us in the good stuff too. We kind of can get a bit, I don't know about you, but can get a bit cocky when it's going really well and just like kind of float along in like a little bubble, and it's like God kind of has to come along and just go, hello, here's a little bit of a trial, just so you remember that you need me, remember that you need to lean on me a bit better. But God's desire is just that we would know him in every circumstances. And I don't know about you, but when you kind of feel the pressure of a tough circumstance, kind of, I don't know what your go-to thing is, as you might have seen from the blurb, my husband kindly fessed up to you that I spend a little bit of time on that very annoying game called Candy Crush Saga. And or it could be just other things. You might go to food, you might go to friends. And do you know what? God is just saying, do you know what? I just want you to lean in on me a bit heavier. When we go through trials, they're there to cause us to lean even heavier on God, to just say, do you know what? You're what I need right now. And like I kind of alluded to the Easter egg, it's like, no, you need God right now. You don't need to eat an entire Easter egg. And that... And sometimes we think in our circumstances we're just like clinging on. By the way, when I say Easter egg, I don't mean like a cream egg. I mean like an actual Easter egg. And I did like steal it out of my daughter's treat box. But anyway, she still doesn't know. I'm going to have to fess up at some point. It's not going to be pretty. Anyway, and we kind of think that in our circumstances we're kind of clinging on to him by our fingernails, but actually it says underneath are the everlasting arms, and that song goes on to say, you're holding on to me, you're holding on to me through all that I've known, you've not let me go, you're holding on to me. And it's him holding on to us. It's not that we're like working really hard to, in our circumstances, in our trials, just grip on by our fingernails. He's got us, which is just amazing. Like I mentioned, I run. I was running. I decided to punish myself. There's a bit of the marathon route which is just horrible and quite smelly. It's along the Basin Road and it stinks and it's not nice. And any of you who'll have run along there is just, but I decided I'd run along it, and it's deceptively long as well. And I kept thinking, I must be nearly at the lagoon by now, and I'm really not, and I'm dying. And not literally, obviously. But I just felt like God speak to me about kind of circumstances and the marathon, and kind of speak to us as women in terms of who's here. And God was like, there's going to be people there who are standing in the crowd, who are just spectating. There'll be some of you here who aren't yet on your Christian journey, are just looking in and just thinking kind of, what is this all about? What is she going on about? And just God just wanting you to know that he's with you in the crowd spectating. And there's going to be some who are on the starting line who are excited, who are like, no idea what's coming, but just like eager and ready. And do you know what God says? Do you know what? I'm with you there as well. And there'll be ones and twos who are along the journey at different mile markers, and do you know what? God's with you at those points too. And there'll be some who've run incredible races and are nearly at the end, and just kind of reminded the Christian walk is referred to as a race quite a lot in the Bible, and it just talks about running the race marked out for us and just how we're surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses. And that's sisters here, that's you and me here today. We're surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses, and then we've got those in heaven who've gone before, who've run the race already, who are going, come on my girl, you can do it. Do you know what? We've got one in heaven who's Jesus, who sits at the right hand of the Father. It says he intercedes on our behalf. It means he prays for us in our circumstances, in our trials, in the squeeze points, going, come on my girl, you can do it. And I feel like some of you, whatever point of the race you're at this morning, you just need to know that Jesus is in heaven going, come on my girl, you can do it. Okay, emotions. I'm going to talk about how our emotions can hinder us remembering that we belong to God. And for me, my emotions are a bit like this, which is good news for my husband because they used to be like this. And so they're kind of, they're a little bit more, you know, God is kindly working on my character. It's good news for those around me. It's not just for Matt. Bless it. Bless him. And I'm quite a fiery character. I'm quite feisty. And unfortunately, that means I have quite a short fuse. And sadly, that didn't go away when I had children like I thought it would. I thought I'd become this amazing maternal, peaceful all the time in my home. It's really not like that. And so I'd lost my temper with one of my children. And do you know what? Having children means that I have to say sorry an awful lot. But that's okay. And you know what? My girls have got lots to teach me because they, like, forgive me like that. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I shouted at you and I lost my temper with you. Please forgive me that. Okay, Mum. Just like, that's it. Done deal. I'm just like, I don't have to do any more. It teaches us what God is like when we just come and say, I'm so sorry. Is that? That's okay. Let's move on. But anyway, I'd said sorry. She'd forgiven me. And I just popped out and I was just still feeling really guilty. I was still just like, oh, I still feel really bad that I shouted at her. And I can't even remember what it was about. It was probably something really ridiculous. And I just was reminded of some words of a song. I sing a lot to myself as well, as you'll find out. But it says, we couldn't escape the sin and the shame that kept us bound. We couldn't break through. We couldn't reach you. So you reached down. And do you know what? It's not that we have to just try harder to control our emotions. It's not like, I'll just try a bit harder to not be so emotional. Because do you know what? God's made me like that and I don't need to apologise for that. But he's working on my character and that's good. But it's like, do you know what? You can't be the one who is in control of how you respond to everything. But there is one who will help you and one who will just do you so much good. And my coming to God in my emotions, it's almost like I'm like, I'll wait until I'm not cross anymore. I'll wait until I'm doing a bit better and then I'll come. I'll wait till I've just sorted myself out a bit. And it's like, do you know what? You get to just come. You get to just come and be with him because he loves you and because it isn't about us. It isn't about me. It isn't about you. I don't have to perceive how God feels about me based on my feelings. I get to perceive how God feels about me based on the finished work of Jesus. And so even in my weakness, even in my stuffing up, even in my roller coaster of emotions, I just get to come and be me. I just want to touch on one emotion and then we're going to be nearly there. Phew. One is fear, and for those of you who don't know, I'm quite a sensitive little chicken, and I have to guard what I watch quite a lot. I can be feisty, but also sensitive. It's just how God made me. It's just what you get. And so I kind of have to guard myself in terms of what I watch and what I read and stuff, and I'm normally quite wise, but Matt and I have been watching something called Homeland. I don't know if any of you have seen it. And it's kind of, there's a little bit of suspense in there, and I can handle that, but when it gets a bit too much, then I kind of stop breathing for a little while. And I won't go into too much detail because some of you still might want to watch it, but basically there is a scene where somebody hides in the back of somebody's car. And the thought has just crept in. It's just, you all understand, don't you? And we have a family of six, so our car is quite big, and there's room for someone to hide back there. And so I was driving home the other night. It was about 10:30 at night. And I suddenly was like, what if someone's climbed into the back of my car? And it didn't take long for that thought. And I thought, I've got two choices. I can either start driving like a nutter and kind of throw them around in the back, or I could do this, which is what I did, and I sang, fear not, for I am with you, fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. Do you know what? Something broke. I was just like, oh, do you know what? God is with me, and that is okay. I've known that song since I was about 5 years old, and I started singing it to myself last night when I was kind of nervous about today as well. You giggly gosh. And it's just knowing that God gives us tools to fight with our emotions, and just your fear might be of something totally different, but it's genuine fear. It kind of grips us. It stops us remembering that we belong to him. And so it's just having stuff like that. So I do sing to myself. That's just how I learn. And it just, songs stick in my head. But for you, it might be other things. It might just be being good at knowing scripture, just to call to mind truth. It might just be texting a buddy and just saying, pray for me now because I'm feeling weak and I can't do this by myself. It might just be that you need to speak some truth to yourself. But let's be women who are princesses and are daughters of the king, but who armor up well. Like, we've been given incredible armor. We've been given helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace, big old faith sword, shield, big old sword. Let's be women who train ourselves to use those well, so that when circumstances and emotions and sin come, that we can call to mind stuff that will serve us to not be fearful or whatever the emotion is that you're dealing with. So, I've called this the practical bit, but that's just because I couldn't think of anything better to call it. Do you know what? I would hate for us to leave this place thinking, I've just got to try a bit harder. I've just got to try a bit harder, because do you know what? That is not what God wants for us. It isn't women who are just like, oh, well, if she sings to herself, maybe I should sing to myself. Rubbish. If you don't want to sing to yourself, please don't. But if you do, fine. Go for it. But it isn't about just trying a bit harder. And in a little while, we're going to respond in worship. But I just want to encourage you, just as we carry on in this day, just allow God to soften your heart, that when you've just felt that of the Holy Spirit, you know, that moment when God's kind of nailing you on something, just to be soft before him, just to get real with God. And it's all well and good to kind of hear a bit about my journey and kind of where I've been at and stuff. But do you know what? We just want to need to come and just look to God. Just come and look to him. And it's not about us just going away and like, just got to try and like work out how to be closer to God in my own strength. Because do you know what? If we go right back to the beginning of these verses, it says, he who created you, he who formed you, he knows how we're made. He knows how we tick. He knows what we're like. And so it's coming and saying, do you know what? God, I'm made for relationship with you. It's not that we're coming to try and do something that we're not designed for. God's designed us to be in relationship with him, designed us to be close to him, so that when stuff hits that is hard, when trials come, when sin comes, when our emotions get the better of us, that we can come to one who knows us even better than we know ourselves and just say, we're leaning on you, we're coming to you. And again, I don't, this is all kind of a jumble of my now, but we just get to come and be. And I just want to encourage us, as we come to worship, don't be worrying about the person to your left or right is doing. Do you know what? Comparison is crippling, and it's not what we're designed to do. And it leaves us in just two places of sin. It either leaves us in pride, comparing ourselves, thinking that we're better than the person next to us, or it leads us in just kind of false humility of like, everyone's better than me. And do you know what? It's saying that God didn't know what he was doing when he made you, and he did. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing when he made you. And he knew exactly what he was doing when he made me. And so we get to enjoy closeness with God, not because of who we are or what we've done, but because of what Jesus has achieved, what he's won for us. And we don't have to do this by ourselves, because he has sent the Holy Spirit, praise God. And he comes and he is our helper and he is our friend, and he wants to do you good in this place today. And so when you're feeling that little tap of the Holy Spirit, he's like, I'm here and I want to do you good. And just want to encourage you just to get honest with God about where you're at. I've just been reading a book by Paul Miller called A Praying Life. And basically the first few days of reading this book were just me in tears before God, of just like, I just haven't even begun to get this yet of like what my relationship with you could look like, could be like. I'm just scratching the surface. And it just, I'd got to the point like God had taught me all this stuff in kind of building up resilience and stuff. And then I'd just been like, oh, I'll just get on with it now. And God's just like, no, you have to take me with you. You have to take me with you on the run. You have to take me with you on the journey. And it's not just a case of like ticking him off at the beginning of the day or the end of the day. Right, I've had my God time, job done. Now I'm going to get on with the rest of the day. He wants to share our days with us. He wants to be close to us. He wants to do us good. He wants to meet with us in the mundane stuff, in the exciting stuff. And there's kind of sometimes the biggest challenge is just coming and admitting that we're not hungry. It's just coming and just saying, do you know what, God, actually, I'm not hungry for you. And I kind of got to that place of like, I've just turned you into a tick list thing. I'm not even hungry for you. And my prayer just became, God, make me really, really hungry for you. And I'm not going to stand up here and say, since then, every day, I've spent time with God and it's been incredible. And I've taken him everywhere, everywhere I've gone, every situation, because that would be a lie. But like, I'm just getting better at just hearing him, just not letting stuff creep in. And like I said, I ran a marathon 2 years ago, 26.2 miles. But I can now run just about 4.5 without less like, I've had a baby since then, and so I'm not as fit as I was. And I kind of got really frustrated and just like, oh, what's the point of going up because I can't run anywhere, and just got into that kind of wallowy hippo type kind of. And just was like kind of having to discipline myself. And there is a discipline involved in spending time with God, but also knowing that he kind of comes rushing in just when we take that tiny step forward. But I kind of realized I'd kind of lost my passion for running just because of lack of goal, lack of fitness and disappointment. And sometimes we can be like that with God, can't we? We can be just like, oh, I've just got a bit disappointed with what I thought, how that was going to work out, how I thought you were going to meet with me. And I just want to encourage us just to know that however God is choosing to deal with us, he knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly what we need, and he is safe, and he is good, and he is kind, and he is faithful. So this morning, you are redeemed, you are named, and you belong, and nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing can snatch you out of his hands, because Jesus has won it all for us. Whew, we made it. Yay! Oh, Father God, thank you that we can come and call you Father this morning. Thank you there's no guilt or shame in you just because of Jesus. And just want to pray for everyone in this room that as we come and worship now, that our eyes would be lifted, that our gaze would meet yours, and we would know that we have a dad in heaven who loves us, who wants to do us good in this place this morning. And we just get to start just by coming and being real with you. And if you're at that place of like, do you know, I'm not even hungry for this, I've kind of just turned up here by accident, just want to ask you just to soften your hearts, just to allow the Holy Spirit to come and meet with you. If you're kind of a bit further on your journey and do you know what, I am enjoying relationship with God. God wants to just bring you to an even deeper level of intimacy with him. He wants to surprise you this morning. You haven't grasped the depth and breadth and width of his love for you yet. And he just wants to come and reveal again just the love of the Father, just how much he loves you, how incredible he thinks you are.